Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Morning, and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes. And for the next few moments, please stay with me. It's going to be about 30 minutes of motivation, some inspiration, a little bit of education, and all done with no manipulation, because we don't try to con people. You don't have anything we're trying to sell. We're not trying to solicit you to do anything, join anything. Our objective is to simply give you clear, lucid information. Information that'll help you verify and identify the plan of God for your life. And if you would like to orient and adjust to that information, you have the freedom and the privacy always to do so at your own leisure. It's your life. God gave it to you, and He gave you volition. Volition, V-O-L-I-T-I-O-N. That means you have the ability to choose. God did not make you a little automaton, didn't make you a robot. You can choose. You can choose to believe in Jesus Christ. You can choose to take God's word and learn it and use it. You can choose who you want to vote for. You can choose who you want to eat. That's freedom. God gave you freedom. We also have physical freedom, compliments of the wonderful men of our armed forces and women as well, who have fought, who have died, who have given of their time and their privilege and their life to protect us from enemies, domestic, foreign, and abroad, wherever. We're free today because it cost a price. Freedom is never free. The freedom we have in Christ is the most wonderful freedom in the world, because God sent His Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, to pay for our own sin. Not His sin, because He never sinned. He paid for our sin. And by receiving Christ as Savior, by putting our faith and trust in the finished work of Christ on the cross, we enter into the most phenomenal life the world has ever known. It is called the Christian life. The Christian life is a significant way of living that the world cannot identify with. It's a supernatural life. It requires a supernatural power to live it. That power includes the Word of God, the Bible, which it says in Hebrews 4:12 is alive and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. It also requires the filling of the Holy Spirit, where Paul wrote, if we'll walk in the Spirit, we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And so we know that we're in a war as a Christian. We have enemies. Those enemies are the world, the flesh, and the devil. And oftentimes we attribute things to the devil that really aren't the devil. They're our own flesh or the world tempting us. But anyhow, we have three enemies. And so the objective for any Christian is to advance in the Christian life, to grow spiritually, to come to the place where you can effectively represent Jesus Christ to your friends and to your family, where you can represent Christ in your church, that you become a Christ-like individual. This doesn't happen overnight, and so it is involving the spiritual life. We have two lives inside of us. I have my physical life. You can look at me, you can see me, you can touch me, you can talk to me. And then I have my spiritual life, and you cannot see that. Now, I can act spiritual. Oh, I could put on a dark suit and a dark tie, and I could talk in spiritual terms like, how art thou, brother? Hello there, sister. You know, I could talk really spiritual. And then you may say to yourself, look, he's a man of God. He drives an old car, and he has one suit, and he has an old tattered Bible, and he walks around with his head hanging low. That's not spirituality. That's a word called asceticism, extreme self-denial. If you want to be an ascetic, go join a cloister somewhere. But that's not the Christian life. The Christian life is the most phenomenal life the world has ever known. First of all, it's full of joy, because Christ said, my joy I give you. And I assure you, He was never unhappy. It's a way to live without feeling any guilt. It's a way to live without getting into bitterness. It's a way to live without having jealousy. It's a phenomenal life that gives you the most incredible mental attitude. And that's called a relaxed mental attitude, an RMA. Remember those words, an RMA, a relaxed mental attitude. When you have an RMA, then you're able to face circumstances that other people cannot face, circumstances that would overwhelm most people, not you, because you know that Jesus Christ controls history. You know the Supreme Court of Heaven is open 24 hours a day. And you know that you have the spiritual life to sustain you and carry you. And you know you have the faith rest drill to stand behind the promises of God and use them as the shield of faith. So when I'm talking about the spiritual life, most people don't have a clue what that is. And I ask you, how is your spiritual life? That means, are you growing? Are you reaching spiritual maturity? Would you know it if you did? Probably not. I didn't know. I don't know if I'm spiritually mature or not. I can't say, yes, I'm a spiritually mature Christian. All I can say is that I take in God's word every day, that I am faithful to name my sin to God when I fail, and I sit under a qualified pastor that teaches me God's word. Now, here I am talking to you. I have a spiritual gift. I know that. I know God gave me a gift when I became a Christian. It's called the gift of evangelism. I know where my gift functions, and I know this, that if I'm going to represent God to you, if I'm going to get on the radio or if I'm going to be in a pulpit and I'm going to speak and presume to speak for God, well, I better get it right. God doesn't tolerate people misrepresenting him. You can talk to Moses about that when you get to heaven. You can find out what happened when Moses misrepresented God at the rock of Meribah, when God specifically told him to speak to the rock. But rather than speaking to the rock, Moses, in his anger, struck the rock. And what happened was not a very nice thing. God doesn't tolerate even Moses misrepresenting him before the people. The Lord Jesus Christ could not ever afford to misrepresent the Father, and the disciples could not afford to misrepresent Christ, and you and I, we cannot afford to misrepresent him either. So we must know what we're talking about. And I know what I'm talking about. I'm not here spewing out some garbage. You're listening. You know. You've heard me before. You know I'm not spewing out some legalistic claptrap that's trying to tell you that if you want to be a spiritual Christian brother, you should give up eating strawberries. I never said anything goofy like that. What I'm telling you is how you grow spiritually. What I don't know is if you really want to do that. You know, I talk to people all the time and they say, I don't have time for that. My life is too busy. I'm raising children. I'm working. I don't have time to study the Bible. Maybe I might go to church on Sunday, but even then I got to hurry back home and fix lunch for everybody, and I got to hurry back so I can get to the golf course or whatever. If you want to talk about your spiritual life, you're talking to the right person. There is a spiritual life inside of you. That's the real you. Not what's on the outside, but what's on the inside. Because the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. So if God wants to check you out, and you are a child of God, I assume you've accepted Christ as your Savior, he's not interested in your image. He's not interested in your style. He's interested in what you're thinking. That's why the Bible says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. That's why the Bible says, stop thinking of yourself in terms of arrogance beyond what you should think, but think in terms of humility, as God has assigned to each one of us a standard of thinking from his word. We can hide our intentions from our friends. We can hide our actions from our friends, and we can never hide our thoughts from God. Wherever you are right now, God knows exactly what you're thinking. Have you ever considered growing up spiritually? Have you ever considered putting enough effort into this so that you could be the person God wants you to be? well, then you're going to have to grow up spiritually. You're going to have to move through spiritual self-esteem, spiritual autonomy, and eventually to spiritual maturity. These are things we've been talking about on the radio show lately, and I don't know if you've heard them. If you haven't, you can always order the MP3 and catch back up on what we've been covering, but we've been doing a series on the spiritual life. We talked about spiritual self-esteem, and we made the point that our spiritual life was not designed for us to depend on someone else to guide us. Our spiritual life was designed for us to learn how to walk by faith every day, deal with our own problems, face our own adversity, as well as deal with the prosperity that we come into our life and handle those things without having to lean on someone else. So spiritual self-esteem is where it starts. You being filled with the Holy Spirit, understanding those 10 problem-solving devices. Remember, that's what this show is predicated on. You learning those 10 unique problem-solving devices. And the first one is rebound. Naming your sin to God when you fail. And letting God the Father cleanse you from your failure so that you can resume your spiritual life. And then being filled with the Holy Spirit. Yes, those two are critical. You cannot function in the Christian life without rebound, and you cannot function in the Christian life without the filling of the Holy Spirit. See, you will sin. You have a sin nature, and you will have that sin nature until you die. There you will get a resurrection body, and it will not be infected with sin. This one is. So, there will never be a time in your life when you won't sin. Whoever told you that? The Bible says if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. You will always have the capability to sin. But you always have the capability to be cleansed from that sin. You don't have to stay in it. You can get out immediately by going to your Father and merely naming your sin. That's why the Bible says if we confess our sin to God, He's faithful and He's just to forgive us and to purify us from all of our wrongdoing. The legalist wants to add something to that. They want to tell you that you should work to be forgiven, that you should promise God you would never do it again, that you should try to turn over a new leaf and repent of those things you've done in the past, and then maybe God might forgive you. No. The Bible simply says, when we sin, if we go to God and admit it, He'll cleanse us immediately. And then we're filled with the Holy Spirit. And when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, when we sit under a pastor who can teach us something, then we can grow. We get into a good church, not a circus, but a good church, where we can grow, where we can hear God's word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by means of the Word of God. And once the Word of God starts taking root in your soul, once it starts circulating in your stream of consciousness, you will develop divine norms and standards in your life. Things won't be fuzzy anymore. Things will come into focus, and you will have contentment in your life. That's a clear indication that you're beginning to have capacity for life. Because if you're content, then God can pour blessings into your cup. But if you're not content, anything God gives you would distract you. You couldn't handle it. So He knows when you're ready to be blessed and when you're not ready. So as you grow, as you reach spiritual autonomy, and that's the continuation of that contentment, listen to what the Bible says in 1 Timothy 6. Now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. Contentment is the most wonderful thing. Paul said in Philippians 4:14, not that I speak in regards of need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. You see, let me ask you that question. Are you content? You see, a lot of people think that circumstances or people can make them happy. A new car, a new boat, a new home, a new ring, a new dress, a new suit, a new this, a new that. We're not content. We're never content. You see, I have a friend who buys a lot of lottery tickets, and it's not a sin to buy a lottery ticket. But where the problem is my friend thinks if I can win the lottery, they'll be happy. And that's not true. Because unhappy people take their unhappiness with them wherever they go. Spiritual autonomy, on the other hand, the second stage of spiritual maturity. Spiritual maturity is spiritual self-esteem, spiritual autonomy, and eventually spiritual maturity. So spiritual autonomy gives you a perpetuated mental attitude, mental stability. You're not rocked back and forth by circumstances. You're not thrown up and down by the climate. You're stable. And, you know, that's what makes you magnetic to people. They don't understand how you handle circumstances. You know that it comes from the faith rest drill, standing on the promises of God, that it comes from the filling of the Holy Spirit. You see, in spiritual autonomy, you're the most normal person in town. You know your limitations. You're not threatened by superficial nonsense. You have personal control of your own life, and you don't try to control others, and you're not possessive. Now, that's the key. Mental stability. The ability to think about the Word of God, the ability to have divine viewpoint, even while you're under pressure. Mental stability is sort of an insulation against Christian psychosis. Christians get weird. You know that. They get neurotic. They get psychotic. They can go off on you even though they're Christians. They're not stable. And the reason is they haven't learned to control their emotions. This is not how you live the Christian life, based on emotions. You live the Christian life based on the filling of the Holy Spirit and the content of the Word of God in your soul. That gives you stabilization in your mental attitude. And you're not hurt when people turn on you. You're not threatened when people threaten you, because you're oriented to the grace of God. Spiritual autonomy is a wonderful thing. But spiritual maturity, the third stage, that's where God wants you to be. He wants you to grow up. He wants you to be that spiritually mature believer who represents Christ in his own life. He's what I call the winner believer. The winner believer. The reason I call him that is he's going to receive rewards in eternity. He's a winner. The loser? Well, he's the believer that never learns the Christian way of life. He's the believer that can never advance spiritually because he won't grow. He won't stay filled with the Spirit. He won't take time to learn God's Word. And he's constantly under discipline. He's not content. And his life is not happy. Oh, yes, he goes to church. He plays the game because it's expedient in his business to do so. That's a loser believer if I've ever seen one. A believer who plays a game. God doesn't play games, and you don't need to either, I promise you. The winner believer is that invisible hero. He can have an impact on human history because his life acts as an anchor, as a stabilizing force in a nation of unstable people. It's all God needs is one man, just one. One lady like you. That's all. When you go through evidence testing, which you will, our Lord Jesus Christ had to be tested in Matthew 4. You remember that. Satan tempted him 3 times. We all go through that, and when we go through that, the objective of God for us is to grow, to be independent of any form of human counseling, to be independent of any form of human encouragement, but to absolutely sit under a pastor and let that pastor shepherd your soul. Let that pastor feed you. That pastor feeds you. Let him teach you God's Word. And then you will have personal love for God. You can use impersonal love with other people. You can have the sharing the happiness of God and occupation with Christ. Those are 4 characteristics of a mature believer. A spiritually mature believer has personal love for God, impersonal love for others. He shares the happiness of God, and he's occupied with Christ. By the way, those are the last four problem-solving devices out of the 10 unique problem-solving devices found on the flat line of your soul. So the mature believer, if that's you, you're a member of the royal family of God, and you faithfully execute God's protocol plan. When you sin, you rebound. Daily, you're filled with the Spirit. Daily, you take in God's Word, and you apply the information you learn. Remember our little acronym, L-A-G, LAG. Learn it, apply it, and it'll glorify God. Learn, apply, and glorify. The spiritually mature believer, which I hope is you, could be classified as an invisible hero. You know why? Because you have an impact on human history. You stabilize your nation, your client nation. You're an anchor. You're a rock in the nation, and you glorify God to the maximum. You know why? Because God is able to pour blessing into your life, and it won't distract you. You can glorify God by passing evidence testing as our Lord Jesus Christ did. You can become a witness in the angelic conflict that we now live in today. And you can represent God by your spiritual life. Spiritual maturity, maximum spiritual growth. This is how we glorify Jesus Christ. Listen carefully to Matthew 11. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Now you see the volition there, take, and you see learn. There you go. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest. There is the spiritually mature believer. Rest for your soul. And then the Lord goes on to say, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so, spiritual maturity is the divine objective for every believer in time. It is the purpose for all the mandates of the Word of God and what they relate to in time, the mandates for us in time. It is the command intent of our God. It's the only way we can bring glory to our Lord Jesus Christ while we still reside in this earth. It's the basis for our rewards, both in time and in eternity. You and I, we must be spiritually mature believers. God's grace has provided everything necessary for us. I mean, He's given us His Holy Spirit. He's provided us with a canon of Scripture. He's given us a local church where we can learn in privacy. I hope you have that. I hope your church gives you privacy and the pastor doesn't stick his nose into your business. No pastor should ever call you up and ask you why you weren't there last Sunday. It's none of his business ever. If you're in a church like that, you're in the wrong place. God has provided men who have the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher, and their job is to prepare and to feed you great, wonderful meals of the Word of God. That's important. What God will not do is influence your volition. He will never manipulate you. If everything is there that you want, but most people just quite frankly don't want it. We're only responsible. That's me and you. We are responsible for our spiritual life. No one else can live it for us. No one else can fix it for us. And so we must grow up. Listen to Ephesians 4:15. But speaking the truth in love, this is Paul, we may grow up into Him in all things who is the head, even Christ Jesus. That is the intent of our Father, that we grow up. The verse goes on to say He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. The very fact that the Father equipped men with a spiritual gift is an indication that we are to grow up. 2 Thessalonians 1:3, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith groweth exceedingly, and as a result, your love has increased one towards another. 1 Peter 2:2. As newborn babies, desire the pure milk of the Word of God, so that you may grow by means of it. 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What's the mandate to the pastor? Feed the flock of God which is among you, 1 Peter 5:2. Why that? So they can grow. They can't grow if they're not fed. In Jeremiah 3:15, and I shall give you shepherds according to my heart, who shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. That's the job of any well-qualified pastor. Understanding. Nehemiah 8:8, so they read in the book and the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand what they read. What good is it if you don't understand it? And that means, how do you apply it to your life? There's a misunderstanding today on the part of a lot of Christians. A lot of people who think, I don't need a pastor to help me learn the Bible. I can read it. I can study it for myself. That is not true. That is not true. This book is the Word of God. This book is inerrant. It is God's Word, and we are sheep. We must have a shepherd. We must have a shepherd to feed us, to guide us, to protect us. That's why God gave men the gift. And you know, that's the truth of it. We must sit under a well-qualified pastor to shepherd us. You know, a sheep can't find water on their own. A sheep can't find food on his own. If he wanders off, he's liable to get lost and can't find his way back. And that is important. Too many Christians are under the Word of God, but they're not in the Word of God. In the Word of God. That's where the growth comes, in it. Filled with the Spirit, letting a qualified pastor teach you, making the application to your life every day, and advancing from spiritual self-esteem to spiritual autonomy to spiritual maturity to glorifying Jesus Christ to the max in your life. Oh, I sure hope this makes sense. I've tried hard. Did you listen? Until next week, this is your host, Rick Hughes.
Thank you for listening to The Floodline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.